Let's read 8 too. Let's start with 2 Corinthians 8. Let's read 8 and 9. He said, I speak not by commandment, but I am testing the sincerity of your love by the diligence of others. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that you, through his poverty, might become rich. Hallelujah. I don't know about you, that sounds like good news to me. That means that through his poverty, he became poor. Where did Jesus become poor? When did he become poor? At the cross. Amen. At the cross. He left everything here. The Bible says that he took the form of a servant. He became a man, and then he took on the form of a servant on top of that. He said, I am one that came to serve. He said, I am a servant. He said, I didn't come to do my own will, but the will of the Father. Amen. Jesus was constantly sharing where he stood. And he chose. He left all of heaven, all of glory, to become a man, not just for a day, but for all eternity. He's going to have a human body. Do you realize that? Yes, it'll be glorified. Yes, he's still God when he's in heaven. But he chose to take on a human body for all eternity. Whew. Lord have mercy. I mean, he wanted to know what it was like to be a man. And as a man, he humbled himself, right? The Bible says, and he became obedient all the way to the death of the cross. Praise God. But we know, for you know the grace, the unmerited, the unearnable favor of God, grace of God, his influence in our heart, of the Lord Jesus Christ, that grace, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that you through his poverty might be rich. Hallelujah. We become rich through Jesus' poverty. When he was on the cross, I know we like to see it and we like to say, you know, they put a loincloth around him for our own sensibilities. But when he hung there, he was totally naked. He was totally destitute. He had nothing. Amen. He had nothing left. They took his robe and they gambled for it. Everything he had, he was stripped of for you and I, that we might have all in all. Amen. Yes, I mean, when we're talking about being rich, yeah, it's a whole lot more than money. But in this chapter, he is really talking about money. Verse 10, in this I give advice. It is to your advantage not only to be doing what you began and were desiring to do a year ago, which Paul had asked them, they're taking up some money for the poor saints in Jerusalem, but now you also must complete the doing of it, that as there was a readiness to desire it, so there also may be a completion out of what you have. For if there is fruit, it is first a willing mind. It is accepted according to what one has and not according to what he does not have. God's not looking for you to go into debt to give into his kingdom. You might hear some people say that occasionally. Well, put it on your credit card. Don't listen to them. That's not what the Bible says. I'd rather be blessed with what the Word of God says. He said, according to what you do have. Now, he is concerned about the $5 you have in your pocket. or the 10 or the 20 or that extra 50 bucks you set back for your new fishing pole or whatever it was us men do, you know. We stick a little hiding money in that. Well, I know. I already know you got some in there, you know. A little money in case you want to get something, you know. You might see something you want. And there's nothing wrong with that. Hallelujah. But let's pray and seek God, you know, about all of our, everything that we have. Amen. That's what he's saying here. He said, it's not according to what you don't have, but what you do have. Verse 13, for I do not mean that others should be eased, that you be burdened. But by any quality, that now at this time your abundance may supply their lack, that their abundance also may supply your lack, that there may be equality. God wants equality in the kingdom. Amen. He says, hey, you know, not that one can't be rich or have more than another. Because he's kind of referring here in the 15th verse, it says, as it is written, he who gathered much has nothing left over. And he who gathered little had no lack. But thanks be to God who puts the same earnest care for you into the heart of Titus. For he not only accepted the exhortation, being more diligent, he went to you of his own accord and so forth. And Titus had come to them and he says, hey, God doesn't want something you don't have. If you don't have money, you can't give it. But the Bible also says we have not because we ask not. How many people ask for a little money this week? Maybe you forgot. Oh, you did. Good. Praise the Lord. Maybe you forgot. If it didn't come this week, don't give up. Keep thanking him. Amen. Yeah. Amen. Because we're believing God to increase. And I'm believing for you to increase. So, well, I don't even have a job. I don't care. I've seen it happen right here in this place. God has blessed. God has brought extra supernaturally by his power. Amen. I know my wife and I, when we were first married, we needed $600 and some. Oh, I said, where are we going to get that money? And I said, I don't know. I'm trusting the Lord. We just trust the Lord. And I went out the door, went to work. Came home that day, and from a loan company where I had borrowed some money to go to school, there was a check in the mail for $700 and some. I said, my loan, I'm still paying on that loan, but not according to them. They said, you have overpaid your loan. And so I said, well, don't cash it yet. Let me make a phone call and be sure, because I didn't want to have to pay that back, you know. So I call them. They said, yeah, that's your money. I said, it's my money. Yeah. According to our records, you've paid us. I mean, I've been paying it every month. You know, and from what I see, it wasn't paid off yet, but they said it was. Praise the Lord. You know, God can provide. When we need it, we can ask. We can trust and we can rely on our Heavenly Father, because Jesus became poor, that we through his poverty might be rich. Now we're making progress, praise the Lord. I know we've gotten some money in for the roof and we're moving forward. We've got a few $100s, but we only need 5,800, we found out now. So it wasn't quite 6,000, but very close. The final bill was 5,800, so we're working on paying that off. Hallelujah. How many can agree? We agreed, right? All right, let's stand up for a second. I want you to just lift your hands. Thank God with me that it is paid in full. Father, we thank you. You heard us when we prayed, Lord. You heard us when we asked for the money, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that you are answering us and you're causing the ministering spirit to go forth and cause that money to come. Lord, if you want to use any of us, Lord, we're open. We thank you, Lord. We've asked of you, Lord, and we thank you that you're providing extra for each individual here. You're blessing them for their own home and their own finances, Lord, and extra to give. We give you praise and we give you glory for it in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. You may be seated. You said, yeah, but I didn't give anything in the offering. So what? I didn't read anywhere where God said, give some money and I'll bless you. He didn't say that. He said he's already blessed you. Hallelujah. He said, ask and you receive. That's the truth of the Word of God. You don't have to come and give a special blessing in order for God to bless you. God blessed Abraham before he gave tithes of all. Hallelujah. It's true anyway. Some people said, well, now don't get me wrong. If you want to walk into an abundance, you want to walk in a certain place with God, you got to listen to him. And we have to be obedient. We have to be good stewards. And whatever he tells us to do, we have to do. We get to do. There are many times the Lord has spoken to me, empty your wallet. Empty my wallet. Lord, that's all the money I got. He said, I know. You said, well, how could you do that? I've got a Father I can trust. See, that's the other thing. Can we believe God? Amen. He's been faithful. David, remember the psalmist David, I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. As you can tell, I haven't been begging much bread at all. Hallelujah. I'm happy about it. I'm blessed. I like living in first world countries where I can eat and have more than enough. We're such a blessed people. We should be thankful every day that we live in Canada, North America, right here. We are a blessed people. Our nation is blessed. We can say it's not, but it's blessed. I can put you up against 95% of the world and tell you we are more than blessed. If you've got a little change in your pocket, they say, just a little change in there. A little change in your purse. You got more than 90% of the world. 90%, folks. You're in the top tier. We're probably up in the 1% bracket. You know, somewhere in there. With, you know, Europe and a few other countries, maybe Australia. You know, some of the places, but we are blessed people. We got more than most people ever thought of having. You know, there's a lot of places that I've been to. That, you know, you don't just walk in the house and turn the water faucet on. You've got to go down the street. And then you got to wait in line for an hour till it's your turn to fill up your couple of 5-gallon jugs that you happen to get so that you can haul water back so mama can cook dinner tonight. Amen. Well, we just had breakfast, I know. She's got to get ready to cook dinner now, lunch and dinner, because she's got to start the fire. She's got to go get the wood. Hallelujah. We're blessed people. You know, we got upset. You know, they'll apologize sometimes to me. You know, I'm at McDonald's and, well, it'll just take a minute. About 30 seconds later, they come out with your order. You know, you're like, huh? You know, or maybe it's 2 minutes. Oh, you know, or we get a little upset. Oh, well, it'll be a minute. Could you just pull up, please? You know, it's 2 or 3 minutes before they get your order out. Oh my. Oh, what a suffering. Try waiting in line for an hour just to get your water. Get you a little water. Then they're going to cook with it. Then they're going to bathe you with it. After they get done cooking with that water, then they're going to feed the chickens with it. And maybe the goat if they're fortunate enough to have one. Amen. If you don't go get your water, you're not going to have anything to drink today. If you don't go to work, you may not eat today. Hallelujah. Maybe we need some of that around here. I don't know. The way I see some people, you know, we're sitting around because we get a little extra money instead of going to work. Bless their hearts. I was so proud of my nephew. He says, well, I'm not going to sit around and just collect money. I'm going to work. He went and got him a different job. They weren't opening up. And yeah, he's full salary. They were giving him his full salary. Worked at a little restaurant place. And I don't know how they afforded it, but they were paying full salaries. No, I'm going to work. I got another job. Don't call me back. Okay. Praise God. The Bible says we should work unto the Lord, whatever we do. He said, well, why did you do that? People even asked him. He said, I felt led of God to go to work. Hallelujah. Somebody heard Jesus. They heard God. Amen. Isn't that awesome? He's 22 years old now. Ooh, he's getting old. Almost up there with you, Joseph. Oh, dear. But anyway, I was proud to hear of that. I was proud of him. I said, I'm proud of you, brother. Go to work. Amen. Well, that was good anyway. It was true. All right. Turn to 2 Timothy chapter 1. We're going to pray and we'll dig into the word. But I'm so thankful that the Lord's got this roof where he's working on it. Hallelujah. We're trusting him. You know, it's good to go to a church that needs money. You said, why? Because some of it will flow through you. Believe God. Amen. Glory. Woo. Hallelujah. You wouldn't mind being a millionaire, would you? Live on $50,000 a year, give the rest, or use the rest as a service to God. So, well, why don't we have more gospel entrepreneurs like that? Because usually when people get their million, then their million has them. Most of the time, not always, but often. That's why we don't have too many. Breaks God's heart, I'm sure. Well, God's called me. I made all this money. Praise God. But we're to be stewards of what God gives us in the call of God. You know, it's a call that God has and it helps, the Bible says, helps ministry. Someone with means that gives into the gospel that'll be a steward for God. Amen. So, well, it belongs to me, does it? You got with him and you said he told you to live on, you know, $100,000 a year, whatever it was, $50,000. You're faring sumptuously. Like some of the other rich men in the Bible. You know? But we're going to make it anyway. Praise God. We're going to make it because we're going to be faithful. And I know all of you want to give more than you are. Oh, I did say turn there, didn't I? Second Timothy chapter 1. Let's pray and we'll get started. Hallelujah. So it sounds like you already are started, Pastor. I know. Hallelujah. But he's faithful. He's a good God. He's going to take care of us. He'll provide for you. We're going to be good stewards. Amen. How many want to be a good steward for the Lord? We all get that opportunity. You know, maybe he didn't call you to have $1 million, but maybe he called you to have, you know, 100,000 or something, you know, give 100,000 to the gospel. You got to start somewhere, you know. Hallelujah. So you're putting out those big numbers today, Pastor. I got a father who's God in abundance, so I'm not worried. Trust me. I've been promised a lot of things in life, and most of them didn't come to pass. We got your back, brother. Don't worry about it. We'll take care of you. I haven't held my breath. I don't hold my breath, and I don't hold it against anyone. A lot of times people have good hearts, and we want to do those things, but it's best to get with the Lord and let Him help you, and you just do it. Amen? We'll just be doers. We don't have to say about it. We don't need the glory. We don't have to get credit. You know, the Bible says if we get credit in this life, what good are we? Where are we? We've got all the reward. You've gotten your reward. How many want a reward in heaven? I do. I want to get my rewards in glory. Eternal rewards. I want some jewels in my crown that I can put before my master. Thank you, Lord. I mean, He deserves it all. Let's see. He gives you the grace and the faith. And then He gives you the gifts to help you along the way. He said, I'll do the work in you. Well, what are you really doing? What are we really doing? We're surrendering our life to Him. We're just surrendering. Lord, you have your way. That you can be everything in us so I can look like Jesus. So I can walk like Him and talk like Him so that when I speak, hearts are strangely warmed and touched, and they recognize the voice of the Master. Hallelujah. You know, that's what happened when Jesus was on that road to Emmaus. He'd risen from the dead, and they didn't recognize Him. But as they walked, He began to talk to them, explain from the Scriptures. Wasn't our heart strangely warmed when He spoke of these truths? Hallelujah. What manner of man He was. He said, man, yes, He was a man. Everything He did on this earth, He operated just like you and I because He had limited Himself. He chose to be a man, to suffer like a man, to die to His own desire like a man or a woman. I'm talking about humankind. Thank you, Lord. He had a mission. He had a calling. He had a place. And the Bible said He was obedient even unto death. You know, I'm not condemning anybody. You know, when people are in other countries, they're suffering and their whole goal is to try to get out of it. You know, they want to come to places like Canada and over in Europe right now, they're having an influx of people coming into Europe. And over in the U.S., as you know, in the south border there, they're trying to better themselves. And, you know, and if I was there, I'd probably do the same thing. Push me over the fence. Let me be. I'll take my chances. But see, when things are hard, people want out. When it's easy, they want in. And many of the same people that are in suffering, they come to to Canada or to the U.S. and they get a life that's better. See, they start experiencing that abundance. Then they don't want to go home. They want to stay right here. I've got an abundance. Hallelujah. We have so much. Praise the Lord. But anyway, we have an abundance. And sometimes they, you know, the plan of God was to come and get some education. Go back home. And many, some do. I'm not saying all stay, but many never make it back home. They never go back because they know how difficult it is and how easy we have life here. Hungry? Stick in the microwave, you know? Hot dog for 30 seconds. Don't overdo it because it'll explode, you know? We've got it pretty easy. Hallelujah. Well, it's still working, so crackle here and crackle there. Praise the Lord. 2 Timothy 1:9. Did you get there? Did you find it yet? Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the truth of your word, that it is alive, and that it touches our heart, Lord, and changes us. You said your word is full of power, Lord. Yet sometimes, Lord, we leave it on our shelf till dust settles over what you have said. We forget. Remind us today, Lord. Speak to our hearts today, Lord, of what you have said. In Jesus' name. Amen. I'm not going to apologize. I'm a little weepy today. I think I'm in a little intercession. I don't apologize. I will not. I've already done that enough, so he's just going to have to help me, and you pray for utterance with me. Amen. Verse 9 says, who has saved us, called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before time began. And we talked about this verse last week, that we have a calling, and that calling is holy. That God gave us a holy calling. Each one of us has a part in the body of Christ. We are one body, yet members in particular. Amen? We're all members of this body of Christ, and we all have a job that we get to do. And the call that God has on your life is holy. We said that, you know, we see and we learn the general will of God, of course, from his word. And you may find scriptures that God gives you personally that apply to your call and what he's called you to do. But the calling of God is a holy thing, and it's to be revered, and it's to be honored. And it's something we need to take seriously. Take heed to our calling, to what he's called us to do. What is my place, Lord? Has anybody ever asked that question? Lord, where do I fit in the body of Christ? What is my place? Why am I here? What is my purpose, Lord? Do I have one? Surely you've got something I could do. Amen. Many people have asked that question. Maybe you've asked that question. I know I asked that question, and God answered me after some time. Not super long, but actually I've been realizing a part of the call on my life for most of my life. Hallelujah. And we said that over here in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, where our first calling was that of being reconcilers, amen, reconciling man to God, men and women. Whether you do that directly in the body of Christ or indirectly, maybe you're a teacher or an exhorter, or you are one with hospitality. We looked at all of those in Romans 12. Maybe the gift of prophecy flows through you. I didn't say you're a prophet. He flows through you. Or the gift of teaching, it says, we're to wait on our teaching. Or the ministry, on our ministering. You're servant of the Lord. Amen. You know, a minister is really just like a deacon, someone that serves in the church. You minister in different capacities. How many know it's a ministry? It's a ministry to fix the things around here. Do you know it's a ministry, really? Yeah, well, I couldn't be. Well, then how come under the Old Testament, God chose certain people just to clean the temple? You talk about a stinky place. Blood all over the place. Stunk, I'm sure. They had people that God chose to clean the temple. God chose. God chosen. You have a holy calling. Hallelujah. But before the world began, God knew you. How many know you're fearfully and wonderfully made? God knew us. While we were yet in our mother's womb, He had a plan. But before we began, we had that holy calling upon our life. And I said, you know, it's important. Every job is important. Amen. Most of us start out being a servant. That's what Jesus said. He humbled Himself. Philippians chapter 2. He said, I became the servant of man. I am amongst you as one that serves, He said. Now His service didn't change from when He was a boy sweeping out the house and helping mom or helping dad in the shop. When He started ministering, He was still simply a servant. It was not any different. He didn't see Himself as greater or less when He was still at home helping His dad in the shop. Probably more of a, you know, we see carpenter there, but He was probably more like a stonemason, to be honest. Building things. Basically, His father had His own company. Building things. Building houses. Building forms. I'm sure they probably did. Probably made some tables. They may have had some wood things they made as well. But they were builders. They were, you know, ones that helped people with their homes. And I'm sure Jesus worked hard as unto His father. Because He obeyed His father. He said, go home. You know, He went home and He was obedient unto His parents. I'm sure they had Him working in the shop. Amen. Well, He was just a carpenter. Well, yes, He sure was. Because He humbled Himself. And He didn't take it, you know, something to be upset about or worry about. And so in our life, we said, and it was a holy calling. We also said that we are those that reconcile people, 2 Corinthians chapter 5. We're ambassadors for the Lord. Now see, an ambassador is not an embezzler. Amen. We said that too, didn't we? How many know if the ambassador, he gets a certain amount of money and he starts spending it on himself, he's not going to be an ambassador very much longer, is he? Well, you know, 10%. I spent 10% on that school you told me to go over there and build. I just put the 90% in my pocket. See, 100% of what he was given was supposed to go as an ambassador. Same thing if God calls you to be a gospel entrepreneur, one of the callings of God. You know, a lot of people, that's their first thought. I'm a gospel entrepreneur. Well, why? I want to have a lot of money. That's why. How many know there's a little bit of purging that needs to take place? And it's not always easy. The Bible said it's not easy for the rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. Ooh. A lot of us, I mean, most of us here in this nation are rich anyway, compared to, you know. We really are. If you really look, if you want to compare us, we can say we're all rich. Everyone, I mean, even the poor people here are pretty wealthy. You know, they get a check every month because as a people, we care about those that are broken and can't do for themselves. What a blessed place to be. I don't know why I keep getting on that, but anyway, I am. And it's good anyhow, because we need to think about it. Do we really become thankful, or do we get used to what we have and expect everything to be handed to us, and everything to be easy for life? We want everything easy. Well, will you do what I ask? Will you do what the Lord's saying here? Well, I'll do it if it's easy. Well, it is easy if we really think about it. It's what? Laying down a life for Him. Laying down our life. Saying, okay, Lord, I won't do that because Your word says no. And You're trying to protect me because You love me. You set that boundary for me. I lay down my life that I may have all that You are. What are we really giving up, folks? What are we giving up? Yep. The main thing that we're giving is our own will. And sometimes that sounds real easy. It's not always easy. It's simple, but it's not always easy. Amen. It's not always easy to lay down our will. Even Jesus struggled with laying down His will. Even when He found the perfect will of God for His life, the Father said, oh, if you want to, you can call angels and they'll rescue you. And I'll just bring you home and we'll let the world be. We'd have been stuck and lost for eternity. But He said, no, Father, I'm realizing that's what You said. It has to be this way. I have to go to the cross. There's no other way. I must suffer. I must die. I must be separated from You, which I believe was His biggest problem that He did not want to go through. He'd never been separated from His Father. You got to understand. When He was born in the earth, He wasn't born like you and I, because He had the blood of His Father in Him. The blood of God. Not the blood of man. Yes, there was a body that was created for Him, fertilized by God Almighty. Hallelujah. Supernatural conception had to be. Because if it was tainted with any sin, what kind of sacrifice would that be? We needed a holy man to cover man. We had blood sacrifices, and God said, it will never suffice. It's not going to be enough. Those were all types and shadows of Jesus who would come. Hallelujah. And He was obedient to His calling. Hallelujah. And we said that when we find that place, we'll know it. We'll find it. There'll be a fit. Now, it may not be so easy getting there and fulfilling the final stages especially. See, Jesus, there's stages to Your calling. How many know? He was 12. He wasn't out preaching all over. He was in the temple. And yeah, He taught some of the Pharisees, and maybe He was learning some things too. Amen. They were surprised that He understood at 12 years old. They were shocked at some of the things they heard. You know, and He figured He didn't know everything, obviously. He thought, well, His parents must know where He is. I was about my Father's business. In other words, He had heard from heaven stay here and talk with these guys a minute. I mean, Mary and Joseph, they must have known there's something different about their son. I mean, think about it. He wasn't disobedient. He wasn't rebellious. He didn't talk back to them. He listened to them and obeyed them. At the same time, God put a lot of trust in them. He knew they would be great parents for Jesus. But I wouldn't want to have been his brother. All his brothers and sisters were younger than him. Hallelujah. Anyway. All right. And he gave us a plan for our life before we were born. Then it's up to us, not necessarily to figure out what we're called to do, but to discover what God has called us to. Amen? It's a discovering process. That's why a lot of times I don't like to tell teenagers, well, figure out what God's called you to do. Why don't you figure it out? You know, figure out, what do you want to do? It's not so much what we want to do, but what is God called us to do? What are the gifts? What are the callings? And many times a father or mother may have a inkling in their life. If they're good parents, they've been watching them. They can see those gifts. And you recognize those things, and we pray and we listen to our heart. And sometimes we see certain gifts rising to the top. Many times they're the gifts of God, but other times they're not. You know, he didn't call one that has all the natural gifts. I mean, if you want to look at that, he would have sent Paul to the Jews because he knew all the Jewish stuff. Wouldn't that make sense? We'd have said, oh, Paul, yeah, he knows all the Jews. We'll send him to the Jews. No. They sent Paul. Paul's call was to the Gentiles, the unreached, those that didn't know the gospel. Because God knew. He had to lay down everything he knew to follow him. It's what he knew that caused him to understand the grace of God and the salvation that comes by grace through faith. He gained that revelation. He gained that understanding that I cannot earn it. The law can never save you. No, don't put these people under the law. They've been saved by grace. They are a law unto themselves because God has already written it on our hearts. When you're born again, you receive the nature of the Heavenly Father, and he places the law within you. And he also placed that call that he had from the foundation of the world, a purpose. God works in us that purpose when we seek him with all of our heart. Amen. See, Jesus had to learn obedience, the Bible said, through the things which he suffered. He learned obedience. So does that mean he didn't do everything exactly right the first time? I mean, did he ever miss the nail with the hammer? I'm sure he did. But that wasn't the sin. He learned his skill. He learned how to walk in obedience to the Father. He learned the voice of God. He learned to hear from heaven. He learned to go spend time with his Father. He learned to walk with him, hand in hand, each step, precisely listening. And you and I are coming to that place where in this hour, it's going to be necessary to hear the voice of God, that you don't get killed, so that we don't die, so that we don't miss God. Hallelujah. Because these are times of change in the earth. The time of the glory of God. It's a time when we're getting ready to step to the most power that the church has yet seen. And it's important that we know Him. It's important that we hear from Him. Oh, man. Hallelujah. It's important that we spend that time with Him. And when we're in that secret place, to listen carefully to His instruction. See, when the glory of God came in the New Testament, in the Acts of the Apostles were taking place, when Ananias and Sapphira came, they decided they were going to lie about what they were doing. Why? They didn't have to. I think it was so they would look good as all the other people looked. They didn't have to give everything they had. They could have gave the portion that they did and been honest about it. They didn't even have to give that. Peter said, wasn't it in your power? But oh, I want to look good. Yes, we're giving all of our money. All of the proper, all the proceeds from the land are right here. He says, you didn't lie to me. You didn't lie to the church, but you have lied to the Holy Ghost. Almighty God, you've lied to Him in this day. You're done. Your life is over. That's it. No more rewards. Your reward is full right here. That's it. You're going home. If they went home, as far as I know. But there are consequences to sin and wrongdoing. And there are consequences when God says do this and we choose not to because it seems like such a small thing. Oh boy. Hallelujah. I'm just going to follow Him. It's really important that we listen to Him. That we spend that time. When you spent that hour with Him, stay a little longer. Hear from Him. Let Him love you. Let Him know. Be secure in His love for you. Gain that love. Let it surround you. Let it lead you. Let it guide you. Because He is wanting to set people free. And if you're not listening, it could cost us our life. Because the glory of God's coming. And yet we all think we want it. And we do. We want to see God move. What if we let little things keep talking to us and taking us out and stopping us from seeking the Lord? We're not going to walk in it. We're not going to be a part of it. It's going to destroy some people. They're not careful because they are not walking right with Him, with the right attitude, with the right heart, with the right motive. A lot of times we don't think about that in this day and age. It's all about, well, you know. No, what was the motive? When you see somebody killed somebody, they try to find out what motivated them to kill that person. Or was it really self-defense? What motivated me, Lord, to do that thing? Why did we do that, Lord? Why did I act like that? Why did I allow it, Father? Why did I not stand up? Why did I not stay a little longer with You? It's not too late. I don't care if you're 100. It's not too late. God said His gift is irrevocable. He will not revoke it. He will not take it away. He will not give it to somebody else, contrary to popular opinion. You have a place in the body and we need you to fulfill exactly what God called you to do. Not what somebody else is doing. What you're called to do. What vision you're to be a part of. Where am I supposed to serve, Lord? What is my place, Father? Am I an intercessor? Is that my call, Lord? Or is that part of what you called me to do, Lord? He said, not many should presume. We shouldn't have presumptions. You know, to be a teacher to the body of Christ, that's a big responsibility. He said, we have a responsibility. Because you know why? A teacher can steer the body of Christ in the right or wrong direction. Can steer it all wrong. Oh, it's all right. Just do whatever you want. God will forgive you. Ah, it's by grace, sister. Don't worry about it. Ah, oh, you know, don't worry about it. God's already forgiven you. He's already cleansed you. He's already cleansed you. Hallelujah, anyhow. You know, I mean, these are lies of the devil. And they sound so pretty and they sound so good. And I wish it were true, but it's not true. It's not true. The Bible says that the true grace of God, Titus what? Chapter 2, 11 and 12, we talked about that. The true grace of God teaches me to deny ungodliness and worldly lusts, that I may live what? Soberly. Amen. Before the Father. Hallelujah. I deny ungodliness and to live righteously, holy, soberly before my true and living God because I love Him. And if we willfully choose a lifestyle that has persistent sin and we refuse to change and we decide it's okay with God, we're in danger of hellfire. Not because God wouldn't save you. Not because He didn't pay the price. Not because He's unfaithful. But because we chose to walk away from Him and to spit in the face of God. The grace of God was sent to save you and to preserve you and give you power to walk with Him. It was not a cheap salvation. It cost God everything. And that salvation was not cheap. And it was full of power. Because that nature you received defeated sin. He tore off that spirit of sin that was in you. That death nature. And gave you that spirit of life. And you can walk righteously. Now, I'm not talking about someone that has been broken and is struggling. There's a difference. But if you say God's okay with what I'm doing, He doesn't mind me getting drunk every Friday, Saturday night. He don't mind. It's okay with Him. It's not okay with Him. It's not okay. I think I'll just live with this guy or gal for a while, see how things work out before we get married. It's not okay. Now some people say, well, how are they going to repent? They got married, did they? You mean that's it? Well, what do you want them to do to repent? Other than get married, what else is there to do? I don't know what to say. I mean, they repented, in other words, right? They did get married. But to say that's okay. I know some people right now on this street. I talk to them, old or young. Oh, well, that's just my, you know, person I live with. That's my sweetheart. We just live together. God didn't mind. It's all right. Don't you worry about it. I wasn't worried about it, but I am concerned for your soul. You might want to get right with God. Especially since you're up in your 80s, sir. real person, for real. Comes right down here to my mailbox all the time. I talk to him because he needs Jesus real soon. Even if he lives to 120, it's not very far away. If he lived that long. We have a job to do, folks, and we have a place in the body. And we can find that place. But he says, if you'll seek me and search for me with all our heart. Lord, I'm asking my question today. And let's ask this question. Lord, is my heart in it? Am I really seeking you, Father? Do I really want to walk with you, Lord? Do I really want to follow you? Do I really want to discover the place that you've called me to? Or am I just passing through life, letting life pass me by? Am I going to lay down my past and let it go and pick up right where I am now? Because there's nothing I can do about yesterday. And maybe you wish you'd done more, but you didn't. I can't change it, but I can change what I do today. And I can decide I'm going to seek my Father. I'm going to allow transformation in my life, and I'm going to find the place that he's called me to walk. And yeah, it's a journey. Yes. It's a process. Yes. There's a growing. Yes. There's a dying. Yes. There's a life. But is it worth it? Amen. It's worth it. Amen. He's worthy. Amen. Of our all. How many here? Let's stand up for a minute. How many want to just sell out for Jesus? Amen. You want to give all you got left. Hallelujah. You know, maybe you need to say, oh Lord, here I am. Once again. Yeah, once again, Lord, here I am. Hallelujah. I didn't know it was going to go quite that way. I had other plans, but I'm going to speak what he says. We're going to follow him the way he says to follow him. We're going to pray in the Holy Ghost. We're going to listen to our spiritual man. We're going to hear what his word says and find his general will and let him lead us into his specific place that he's called us to in the body. Amen. Everybody say, I can find my place. I can discover what God has for me. That good, pleasing, and perfect will. Amen.